Okay, so let's review a little bit of some problems, right? So the question is, what type of food item could be used for Erev Tavshilin? That's a machlokas. Or that's a question. For Erev Tavshilin, what type of food item? So definitely you can't use bread. Okay? The Gemara says. Definitely you can't use bread. The question is why? Why not? So one reason is given is because it's not because it's common. It's too common. And in order for Erev Tavshilin, you have to place something which is common, which is uncommon. And when it's uncommon, presumably the argument is that it's not going to be noticeable that it's an Erev Tavshilin. Right? It's not going to be noticeable that it's an Erev Tavshilin. It has to be something which is not common, therefore it's noticeable. The other argument is to say no, that it's not that it's Erev Tavshilin. It's not that. It's not the factor is not commonness, rather the factor is that it has to be malafes esapas. It has to be like a relish, an accompaniment to bread. And therefore, bread is not an accompaniment to bread. Right? It's some type of a food that's been to shield, so there's a company's bread. Okay. So that's the question. And the nafkamina, the difference is this stuff of like these, what are they called them? Cooked grains? Or the daisa. Daisa basically is it's like a grain type of dish, but it's uncommon. So it does not accompany bread. So if you say that it has to be accompanying bread, then it's not going to work. But it's uncommon, so then it would work. So that's the factor, right? So he said, and the reason why it'd be relish, Rashi says also because it's not muchach. It has to be muchach, and we always have bread. They always have bread, right? They always have bread. Bread is a thing which we have every day, so it doesn't show anything. So we ask the question, it never shows anything. Who's to say? How do you know anyways that it's made for Shabbos? It's never possible to be a nicker that it's made for Shabbos, because you always say it's made for Yontif. So how are you gonna know? Right? That's one question. And now I thought is also is that you know what remember I mentioned is like it's hard, you don't want to pin yourself down to a given way to interpret Erev Tavshilin. Right, it's just why do that? Because whatever. But I think we should let's do it. I'll tell you why. Okay, because we do in order to interpret this Gemara. I mean, this Gemara is totally unexplainable. I mean, pas and malafes. Why is malafes why is it of value? And lo shchiyach, why is it of value? Who cares? So Rashi tells us. Right, Rashi is the one who's feeding us all our interpretations of this thing. Right, and we know what Rashi's position is. So. Might as well go with Rashi, unless why be so vague about it, you know? So Rashi's, I think, you know, it's kind of the way we've been talking about it anyways, but I'm just saying it's like, given that we're learning Rashi's in interpreting this Gemara, and we know Rashi's explanation, then I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, going with Rashi. Now, what about other Shana? We don't know how they're going to interpret this Gemara, so let's at least understand this Gemara, you know, according to one side. So Rashi's way of learning was, and this is what we talked about, this, but the idea is that the way Erev Tavshilin works is that you can't cook, you can't begin your cooking process on Yantav for Shabbos. Your hachana for Shabbos, your preparation for Shabbos cannot begin on Yantav. And we explained the idea. I mean, I don't know if this idea is relevant to this particular issue, but the idea was that you can't make Yantav like a preparation day. Okay, that can't be like every Shabbos has like Erev Shabbos is the preparation day for Shabbos. That's its identity. So it can't be the prep day. Yontif can't be rendered a prep day. That's like a design of Yontif. There's a further complications, but whatever. That's the idea. Can't be a prep day. But if you begin preparing earlier on Erev Yontif, and now you're just, it's another day, you're doing the action of preparation on Yontif for Shabbos, that's fine. Then it's just continuing a process which has already begun. So then you're not making it into a prep day. You're just, look, there's no prep day. It's basically you've been cooking all week long, and today is just another day that you're doing it. So that's less of a knock on Yantav. But the punchline that was relevant, I think, for this is that what Rashi openly says, Rashi doesn't say it's prep day. He doesn't, you know, there's no, that's not in there. But what Rashi does say is you can't begin the bishul for Shabbos on Yantif. But if you could continue the Bishul which you have begun earlier, and that's the way Erev Tavshilin works. That Erev Tavshilin is basically you're placing, you're beginning your process of cooking beforehand, and thereby you're merely continuing it. And that's what's permitted. But you're not allowed to cook just to begin your cooking on Shabbos. Okay, and that's why if you don't place near the shul, you can't go, because then you'd be beginning it. Okay, that's just I'm just reviewing that. So now that we've limited ourselves to Rashi, and it just that the idea is that's another now we have questions. Johnny asks, is that the whole idea is just that you begin your cooking beforehand? So why does it mean nicker? What's the difference? You bake bread beforehand, so you guys beginning your vishal, you're cooking for Shabbos. So now why can't you cook on Yom Tov? What's the deal with nicker? Why does it mean nicker? Right? What does it mean nicker for?
Maybe it's for
chol. What's for chol? The bread. Well, yeah. It wasn't. Well, I guess you'll say, look, it wasn't. I wasn't. I was cooking for Shabbos. So they say, well, it's not nicker. Who cares if it's nicker? I mean, that's still kind of the question. Who cares if it's nicker? And in this framework especially, who cares if it's nicker? Right? And I'll ask you another question. This is a question which I always feel funny about whenever I place an Eretz Shilin. So when exactly do you have to cook the Eretz Shilin? Or do you have to exactly cook the Eretz HaShilin? I just open up my box of matzah, I pull out a Streitz matzah, which some guy baked 8 years ago. I don't know, it's been sitting in my closet for whenever I need a Shal Shadis and I need a, you know, a Lachamishna. I have a handy box of matzah they pull one out, look for a whole one, and then realize the Eretz HaShilin you don't need a whole one for. So I take one out, right? So I'm continuing my cooking for Shabbos. Really? Right? I mean, and then I take out an egg from my fridge, which, I don't know, we cooked who knows when. You know, a little more recent than the matzah, hopefully. But still, it's not like exactly the way it sounds as if from the Gemaras and from the Sugya that it's like on Erev Shabbos, you start your cooking process. You know, from Rashi. You start cooking, you take out your tavshils, you start cooking them, and that, you know. But I don't think that's the halacha. I mean, the halacha, what's the maisa of Erev Toshilin? It's the hanacha. You're miniach it. You place it. You don't cook it. You don't have to cook it. I mean, unless you'll tell me Rashi holds that, but I don't think so. And I don't think that's, I've never heard of anything like that. You know, and you should know. I mean, you do the sugya, you're going to think that you have to actually start cooking. You know, that's why whenever I, especially since the sugyas, I get, you know, like a thought crosses my head, wait, should I cook it today? And then I realize there's no halacha like that. And, you know. But why not? I mean, doesn't that kind of undermine this whole thing? Right? I mean, like I said, I'm continuing my cooking from Erev. I mean, unless you'll say, I guess you could say I'm continuing my cooking from a year ago. But that's not so simple, right? In fact, didn't we have a question?
2 weeks, Shabbos?
Yeah, whether you could place an Erev Toshilin for 2 weeks in a row. You can't, a simple shot, it's a machlokas, right? It's
for the same Erev Toshilin?
Yeah, you could use your Erev Toshilin for a few weeks in a row, you know, a few of the Shabbos, like let's say the first days and second days, you know. Machlokas, whether you can do that. Some say you have to place it. What was the last slide? You have to place it right before? I think so. Is that an Erev Yom Tov or something like that? I forgot exactly what it was. But I mean, you certainly can't, the placing it is what matters. I mean, that's the timing. No one's going to say you have to cook it that day. I mean, it's the placing it, the placing of the Erev. But I was saying, so what's the placing of the Erev? Right? I mean, that's kind of funny, right? The whole thing is that you're cooking, you're beginning your preparation and all that. Right. This is another problem. It's a little more of a picky question. But I don't know. I just noticed it. It's kind of bothersome. So it's on our Gemara and Tessayim and off. You know, you have Rashi's, which is explaining why Pas. Right? What's wrong with Pas? So the Gemara says, maybe you'll say it's because he needs something which is Malafes. Rashi says the Malafes lift on bein and the Muchamilsa shasa the Shabbos. You need a relish because it has to be noticeable for Shabbos. Upas lo Malafsa, and Upas is a Malafas. Hilkach lo Muchamilsa hi. Therefore, it's not Muchach. Shahari v'chol yom yesh lachem, because you have bread every day. Right, but v'chol yom yesh lachem, isn't that like the kind of reverting to the Shliach? The common thing,
yeah.
Right? It's like, that's not exactly the, he's just saying that it's not mukha because it's not a relish, right? Because he's saying somehow, for some reason, we don't know why, but relish is that which is mukha, that it's for Shabbos, right? Maybe it's a Shabbos stick of food or whatever. So pas is in malafes, therefore it's not mukha, because every day you have bread. I mean, every day of bread, like, it kind of sort of fits, I guess, but, you know.
We know that it seems like if just a reminder, then they just have something in common. But this side, it's like a reminder and something else.
Yeah, right,
something
exactly. That's what I know. That's what's funny, right? I mean, you'd think, that's what I think when I first saw the Rashi, I just figured, oh yeah, he's on the Shliach thing. But he's not. I mean, that's not where it's on. Paslom Lafsa. It doesn't say Paslom Shliach, or, you know? Yeah. So I'm just noticing that. Sure. So, okay, so Morris is saying that, just to answer the first problem, is that it's not pshat that you're beginning your preparation because you start cooking on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, right? Because, right, it's not so you start cooking. The idea is, I mean, there's two ways to say this, but the idea is that you're not, let's say you live in the prep day idea, you're not beginning your preparation for Yom Tov on, you don't need a prep day, you're not beginning your Shabbos preparation on Yom Tov. That's what you can't do. Okay? But if you set aside food beforehand, tavshilin, cooked foods for Shabbos, these are my Shabbos food, you set that aside beforehand. I don't care when you cooked it. If you have in the house, then put that aside. If you don't have in the house, then cook fresh. But you put that aside, you say, here it is, Shabbos food. Okay? Then when you cook on Yom Tov, you're leaning on your somech on that. You're leaning, relying on that, and you're merely adding to your Shabbos food, right? It's not so much that you're continuing a process of cooking. The idea is that you're not beginning the preparation of Shabbos for Shabbos. Preparation means getting food for Shabbos, but you already have food designated set aside for Shabbos. Now you're simply adding to the food stash, the Shabbos stash. That's what you're doing. As long as it's set aside, and that's why it's good, is that it's set aside. So you can't just cook it. Let's say you cook it and eat it and set it aside. But there's a halacha of hanachas erev, of putting it aside or setting it aside. Because that food is there. Like otherwise it would be like, let's say you just started cooking, but you didn't put lace in erev. So you say, yeah, but I started cooking. You say, but there's no tziruf, there's no relationship between the fact that you started cooking and now what you're doing on Yom Tov. Well, what relates to them is that you have a hanacha, you put the food aside, you say, this is my Shabbos food. And now when I'm cooking, I'm doing it on the reliance that I'm adding to that stash, the Shabbos stash. Okay, and the stash is created through my hanacha, through my putting it aside. Now, I don't care when I cook it. The point is that the character of the cooking, I'm not beginning my preparation for Shabbos, but I'm adding to my preparation for Shabbos. I'm continuing. But not the process. It's not like you're relating the action of cooking on Erev and the action of cooking. Then you'd say it was like the actions are related or a continuation, then you have to do the action on Erev Yom Tov. But the idea is preparation isn't exactly an action. It's creating food for Shabbos. And you're adding to food as opposed to beginning the creation of food. Right? It's adding to a Shabbos stash. And that's what's good. Is that the whole idea is that you're putting aside, you have Shabbos food. That's the idea, is that you're cooking on Yom Tov is a continuation, is adding to my Shabbos food. The Hanachas HaErev is setting this thing up as a Shabbos food. Right? This is my Michael Shel Shabbos. It's the beginning of my Shabbos food. And I'm just merely adding, my cooking on Yom Tov is adding to my Michael Shel Shabbos. So the Chafetz has to tolerate the identity as being Shabbos food. Right? So it's saying, if you just have bread, bread isn't Shabbos food. Bread is just, you always have bread. Bread is just like part of the house. But it's just like, it's always there. It's just food. It's just your staple. So it's not, you can't say this is Shabbos bread. Bread is bread. Bread every day you eat bread. It's just bread. It's for today, for tomorrow, for the next day, for the next day. There's nothing, no difference between bread and bread. So the thing is that you can't say that it's, that I'm adding to my Shabbos food. The idea of Hanachas HaErev is you're setting this thing up as Michael Shel Shabbos. Okay, as a Shabbos food. And then subsequently you're adding to the Michael Shel Shabbos. But the thing is that the Chafetz has to, so to speak, tolerate or be in line with the idea of saying that this is the designation as being Shabbos food. If it's b'chol yom yesh lachem, then you can't say that. So there's no sense in saying this is my Shabbos bread. What does that mean? I mean, it's your bread that, what was it? Well, let's say you have 2 loaves of bread. You have 10 loaves of bread. You say, oh, this is my Shabbos one. Why? Well, are you just saying it's your Shabbos one? This is, you could just well say that one's my Shabbos one. They're all the same. So you just can eat them all. You always have bread. You always, you know, there's no idea that it's put aside and you're saying it's a Shabbos food. But if it's something which is nicker or uncommon or something like that, So you'll say, oh, I'm designating this thing, this is my Shabbos food. And I can actually characterize it, oh, my regular foods or whatever, or my weekday, my yantif, my whatever, but this is my Shabbos food. Right? But now is that, if you buy that, then the question is, so what's my focus? Yeah, okay, so I'm thinking like this, is that similar to what Johnny's trying to say here, that they're saying it's a Michael Shal Shabbos, right? This is, you're setting aside, it's a Shabbos food. Okay, it's a Shabbos food. And that's the idea. You're relying, you're adding to your Michael Shal Shabbos. So what makes it a Shabbos food? By virtue of what is it a Shabbos food? So you could say, because you've designated it and set it aside as a Shabbos food. See, bread doesn't lend itself to that, because bread isn't, there's no such thing. It doesn't make sense that it's Shabbos food. But once you have a food which is like an unusual food, and it's, what's that for? Right? It's like a strange food. Once you have an ordinary food, you'd ask your mom, hey, what's that? When's that for? But you don't say, when's the bread for? The bread's for every day. Bread's always, you know? So there's an idea. It like lends itself to having an identity. Other foods which aren't so common, so they could be designated as being for a certain day. So it's your hanachas ha'erev renders it a Shabbos food. You're placing it as a Shabbos food. You're setting it aside as a Shabbos food, and that's what defines it as a Shabbos food. And now when you're relying on it, so now you're adding to your Shabbos food. So the hanachas ha'erev, the setting aside, putting down the erev, designates it as a Shabbos food. Again, of course, it has to tolerate the identity as a Shabbos food. Like if it's bread, there's no such identity like that. But as long as it's uncommon, then it can tolerate an identity, and your hanacha gives it identity as Shabbos food. The other side argues is that in order to say it's a Shabbos food, it must be a food which participates in the Yom HaShabbos, in like Oneg Shabbos. There's this idea, like you said, it's a Shabbos food. There's this idea is that what makes it a Shabbos food? Because it's a good tasting food. It's a delicacy. It's a relish. It's something which goes with your bread. It's more than just the ordinary foods which we eat. It's tasty. Make my bread tasty. So it's part. That's the idea of Yom HaShabbos. Yom HaShabbos is the day of Oneg. So there's an idea on Shabbos to have stuff with your bread, right? To have tavshilin, to have relishes, to have, right. That's the idea. It's not just more than just the ordinary day. The ordinary day you have bread. That's what you eat. But this is a day. This is a food which is. Which is a Shabbos food because it's tasty, right? I mean, the oats or whatever it is, the cooked grains, they may be uncommon, but they're not a Shabbos food. It just happens to be bread is more common because bread is better than them or whatever. It's not. There's nothing about daisa which makes it a Shabbos food, other than because you're designating and saying it's a Shabbos food. But the other side says is that the quality of being a Shabbos food must be inherent in the chafetz, so that it participates in the idea in the Yom HaShabbos. So it has to be, has to have a quality in the food as being like a good taste, a tasty item, and that's the idea of a relish. Relish is something which makes the bread taste good. It's malafes as a pas. It gives the pas a good flavor, and that's the key. And the Yom HaShabbos, that your bread, you don't just eat your bread, but you have your bread with dips, and you have your bread with good stuff. You know? So that's the question, is that what by virtue of what is the define? And everything you're saying is an anacha, as an eretam mechal shal Shabbos. Is an anacha itself simply the designation le Shabbos, that you're putting it aside for Shabbos, and this is set aside as my Shabbos food, that's what renders it a Michael Shal Shabbos? Or does it have to actually participate in the quality of the food has to participate in the Yom HaShabbos, and the idea of Oneg Shabbos, and tolerate, thereby it could be defined as Michael Shal Shabbos. Say it's possible that within the slide that says that it's defined as Machal Shabbos because you're placing it for Shabbos, it's not just because you're placing it, but there is a halachic reality to placing food for Shabbos, because that's Kavod Shabbos, is to prepare for Shabbos. So it's not just like, you know, like, I mean, it's not like one says it has to be right to Shabbos because it's Oneg Shabbos, and it says, oh, just you place it. So what is placing it? But placing something for Shabbos is the key of Kavod Shabbos. There's a halachic reality to placing something for Shabbos. So thereby it relates to Shabbos. Even though in theory the kinds of food you should place for Shabbos are good foods or relishes or whatever, but even if you just place whatever for Shabbos, that's you're preparing for Shabbos. But still, the question is, does it have to be in the tikkun of Eretz Yisrael, where it's a Shabbos food, and the whole idea is supposed to, it's also supposed to remind you, like, I'm relying on my Shabbos food. You could say that they said that the reminder is because the foods, I think that's the way, if you want to go further, just in terms of the intuitive sense of the thing. The whole thing is supposed to remind you when I cook that I'm relying on my Eretz Hashem, continuing my, this is my Shabbos food, which is already there. So if it's just merely in your Hanacha, so then it's like history. Oh yeah, I remember, I put that as Shabbos food. But there's nothing about it, when you look at it, you don't see Shabbos food, it's not, nothing about it, so it's not going to really bring to mind that I'm continuing my process of, you know, it's just, unless I remember the Hanacha. But if you actually have a good Shabbos food, and you have a food which is partakes of the qualities of Shabbos, it's an oneg food, then it's like the food itself brings to mind that it's for a special day, you know, it's put aside for the for something special. So it's like, the idea that the, it's a Michael, you could say that in the whole point is to remind the guy, you could say, it could be that they demanded that the hacker, that the, not the hacker, but the identity of Michael Shabbos has to be manifest. It can't just be based upon the historical fact that you placed it for Shabbos. You know? It's kind of how they set it up. I mean, it's like, there's... Yeah. Okay, so the next thing we should do is... I guess we could think about it, how within the Rambam, if you learn a hacker, if you could do this machlokas. I don't know if I necessarily want to go there. I have to think about it. But at least the next thing we should do, for sure I want to do, is the question about whether one food or two foods. Bishan v'Yisrael. Right? I think we're in a kind of a good position to try to analyze it. We have to define it. Remember, the Miri says is that the reason why Bishamay needs two foods is because who eats one food on Shabbos? Right? So you need two foods, two cooked items, because that's what it says to be nicker, that is for Shabbos. And Basil says, nah. The way Niri says is some people eat even one food, some people, even if you have two foods, there's one is your main food. You know, but like, I just think we're in a good position here, like, but we have to kind of define it. What's that question? What's that question? And then, once we have that, then I guess our question is, within Beis Shammai, you know, there's, the Gemara says that everyone agrees that Dag and Beitza, the Shmir, That's machlokas really. Is the smeared egg on top of your fish, does that count as two or count as one? Yeah, the argument Mishnah says everyone agrees, but the Gemara, you can look at it, but it's on Yezayin and Mabez, says basically that they argue. There's a different brisa which says that they argue about that. So that's machlokas. You can look at that. Okay, so I guess that's where we're headed. We're working our way towards Beis Shammai and based on Beis Shammai. Yeah, that's part of the problem is that Beis Shammai, it sounds related. There's the idea of the... Sounds like you can almost try to line them up and say, it's like Beis Shammai says, has to be nicker that it's Shabbos food. So that's kind of like the lafas. And Beis Hillel says it doesn't, and that's kind of like the Hillel Shliach or whatever, right? But the problem is that you can't say that, because Beis Shammai's Hillel, we know who we pass on. We pass on Beis Hillel. So now you can't say, you can't have two shittos in the Gemara who are arguing, do we hold like Beis Shammai like Beis Hillel? So they kind of have to both be in line with Beis Hillel. Right? That's what's a little tricky.